Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Good morning, good morning to all of my Christian friends and neighbors. This is Brother Davis, and this is Let's Face the Issues. Truly, we thank and praise God for the opportunity to be able to share with you again on this broadcast in the absence of Dr. Youngblood, who is away celebrating with his bride for their wedding anniversary. Certainly, I want to say happy anniversary to the lovely couple on today who is still less than 100 years old, and he brags about that constantly. But I do want to thank God for them on today. I want to give a shout out to my bride of 36 years, Pastor Ruby Davis down in Folkestone, Georgia, and to all the ministers of God, all the saints, everybody that are listening in on this program on today. Thank you so very kindly for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues. We thank God because on today, we have a few subjects that we're going to be discussing concerning the issues facing our society. As a church, we come to know and understand that faith is under attack. And as we keep looking at the things that are going on around us, as well as in the news media, we see a lot of negative that's going on. And it's high time for us to prepare ourselves. Just the reason why the Bible says that man ought to always pray and we ought to never faint. Day and night, constantly, we ought to be seeking the face of God, because truly we're living in times where everything is going down but the word of God. And certainly I thank and praise God because he's still yet in control. He sits high and he looks low, and all power is in his hands. And truly I thank and praise God for him being who he is. Some of the subjects that we want to discuss on today is why Christians ought to be salt and light. What are our responsibilities? What do we need to be doing as Christians in order to be salt and light to a lost and dying world? Next thing we want to talk about is how Christians should engage the political process, or why we should vet the candidate. Know who it is that you are voting for. Know the party platform that they are running on, so that you don't end up supporting things that are totally contrary to the word of God. And why we should vote for those who will stand against abortion, the LGBTQ agenda, and those who will protect our borders and our Second Amendment rights. Every single day that we wake up, we find that our rights are being totally eviscerated each and every day. So it's high time for us to watch and pray. And I thank and praise God because every time we open up the word of God, we can find something in there that will help us to make it as we journey on our way. And certainly before we move on, we want to thank Tools for Time for being a sponsor of this program. They have a website, toolsfortime.com. They can supply you with all types of outdoor power equipment, anything that it takes to do your yard, your business, or even if you want to open up your own business, go to the website and look them up. toolsfortime.com. Certainly we thank and praise God for them. So what does it mean that believers are to be salt and light? When we go to Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, Jesus used the concepts of salt and light a number of different times to refer to the role of his followers in the world. One example is found in Matthew 5 and 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. Salt had purposes in the Middle East of the first century. Because of the lack of refrigeration, salt was used to preserve food, especially meat, which would quickly spoil in the desert environment. Believers in Christ ought to be preservatives to the world, preserving it from evil intentions and evil men whose agenda is to overthrow the church and to take away the rights of those who love and serve God, those who are unredeemed and are corrupted by sin. And if we go to the book of Psalm 14 and 3, we will see examples of that, and also in Romans chapter 8, verse number 8. Second thing, salt was used then, as now, as a flavor enhancer. This is what we ought to be. In other words, we understand that we can't make anybody change, but we can pray to God that God will touch their sinful hearts and change their minds and curb their appetites for some of this sin that they are committed. That's a constant prayer of mine as I approach people from day to day and I look at the sinful condition that they are living in. And some people think that they're living life like it has no end. Well, my friend, this is the reason why God sent his son into the world to preach the gospel unto the lost. He said, I didn't come to be served, but I came that I might serve. So we must know and understand, even as Christ didn't come to be served, but he came in the form of a servant, then we as Christians, as followers of Christ, we have to humble ourselves and we have to do the same thing. We have to become servants to a lost and dying world. But when we serve them, just like a server or a waiter comes up in a restaurant with good things to eat on his tray, and once in a while they have to flash them before your face to, in other words, enhance your appetite. We ought to be able to do the same thing with the word of God to a lost and dying world. Show them something that would enhance their feelings more toward straying away from sin and coming toward the word of God. So this is why I say we don't have any time to pick flowers. It's time for us to be about our Father's business. It says here, the followers of Christ stand out as those who enhance the flavor of life in this world. Christians living under the guidance of the Holy Spirit and in obedience to Christ will inevitably influence the world for good, as salt has a positive influence on the flavor of the food it seasons. Where there is strife, we ought to be peacemakers. Where there is sorrow, we ought to be ministers of Christ, binding up wounds. And where there is hatred, we ought to exemplify the love of God in Christ, returning good for evil, Luke chapter 6, verse 35. I am so glad that each and every time we face any kind of issue in this world, and I say issue because sin is an issue that man has no answer for, Jesus is still the answer for the world today. Above him, there is no other. Jesus is the way. So this is the reason why we are here. We are here to let the world know, in spite of the troubles that you're going through, in spite of the evisceration of your rights, in spite of the mistreatment, being talked about, lied upon, and criticized, Jesus is still the answer for the world today. And if we submit to his word, his will, and his way, then we know that everything is going to be all right. In the analogy of light to the world, the good works of Christ's followers are to shine for all to see. In other words, when we look at the things that Christians do, we don't have a reason to hide anything because we don't handle the word of God deceitfully, nor do we walk in dishonesty. Everything we do ought to be, can I say it like this, right upon the table. We ought to be able to put it on the table, in other words, for everybody to see that we are not committing deceitful works and we don't have anything to hide. Why? Because we have Christ in our lives. And the Bible lets us know what's on the inside is going to show up on the outside. So truly, if you have Christ Jesus in your life, then you ought to want to do good works. Now listen, we are not saved because we do good works. We do good works because we are saved. So what's on the inside? If you have salvation, salvation on the inside is going to show up on the outside, and it's going to manifest itself through the fruit of the Spirit. Truly, if it's ever been a time in this world when this lost and dying world need to see good works from the people of God, now is the time. We don't have time to pick out faults in each other's lives. We don't have time to criticize other individuals. We don't have time to sit ourselves up on a high horse and think that we are better than others. We must be about our Father's business. People are dying each and every day in this world. And certainly I want to take out the break this time to send condolences out to all of our friends in the UK, because on yesterday, the Queen passed away. And certainly we pray God's strength for each and every one of them, because they need prayer too. And we also pray for the next one that's going to be in authority. Charles is now going to be the king. And if we don't pray for Charles, then we're not doing our duty. I don't care how much we don't like an individual. Some say, I don't like Trump, I don't like Biden. It doesn't matter who you don't like. If you are a Christian on today, 1 Timothy chapter 2 tells us to pray for all of those who are in authority, that we might live a quiet and a peaceful life with all godliness and sobriety. So God is still yet in control. If we pray for the individual, no matter how sinful they are, in the book of Proverbs, I believe that's chapter 24, verse number 1, says the heart of the king is in the hand of God. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wants it to go. In other words, I'm just paraphrasing. Amen. So a king in authority, a queen, or whoever that person might be, even when it comes down to those in the local office, the mayor, the chief of police, even your pastor at your church, if they are not doing according to the word of God and you pray for them, God can turn them away from that sin for your good. And you can end up being blessed instead of being criticized or brought down. So now is the time for us as Christians to be salt and light in this world. It says here, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all those who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. That's Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. That's coming from the NASB Bible. So it doesn't matter what translation you are reading on today. The word of God is the word of God. It means exactly what it says. It doesn't need us to correct it. It doesn't need us to interpret it. It doesn't need us to help it. All it needs is, when we read it, is for us to obey it. And I heard Dr. Charles Stanley say so many times, obey God and leave the consequences to him. I guarantee you, my friend, if you put God to the test, if you trust in him with all your heart, if you just take the word of God at face value, and if you just do what it says, all I can tell you to do is stand back and watch God. You can watch God work. I guarantee you, whatever he says in his word, he will perform it. Because Isaiah chapter 55 tells me that God watches over his word to perform it. So that lets me know he doesn't intend for one word to fall idly to the ground. He intends to fulfill it, especially in the lives of those he loved. So thank God for that. The idea here is that the presence of light in darkness is something that is unmistakable. The presence of Christians in the world must be like a light in the darkness, not only in the sense that the truth of God's word brings light to darkened hearts of sinful men, John 1, 1 through 10, but also in the sense that our good deeds must be evident for all to see. And indeed, our deeds will be evident if they are performed in accordance with the other principles that Jesus mentions in this passage. And if we go to the Beatitudes, he tells us so many things in there what we ought to be doing. And if we do those things, he tells us that we're going to be blessed. In fact, every one of the Beatitudes we read are words of encouragement to those who will trust, obey, and follow him. He said, in view of these verses, what sorts of things can hinder or prevent the Christian from fulfilling his or her role as salt and light in the world? The passage clearly states that the difference between the Christian and the world must be preserved. Therefore, any choice on our part that blurs the distinction between us and the rest of the world is a step in the wrong direction. This can happen either through a choice to accept the ways of the world for the sake of comfort or convenience, or to contravene the law of obedience to Christ. Listen, we must know and understand as the people of God on today. Some say the Old Testament is not necessary or it's not relevant. Well, I'll stop by to tell you, the Old Testament is still the Word of God. And if we look at the Old Testament, the 39 books that are over there and the 27 that are in the New Testament, that makes up the 66 books that's called the Bible. That is the whole Word of God in its completeness. So therefore, we must know and understand, even as New Testament Christians, the Old Testament law, if you go to the book of Galatians, was given to us as a schoolmaster. We had to be taught what was right and what was wrong, what was pleasing and what was displeasing in the sight of God. So therefore, it took the Old Testament and the teachers and prophets and scribes and everybody else that had anything to do with the writing in the Old Testament, it took all of them to get that word over to us so that we would know what it was that God wanted us to do as Christians in this New Testament era that we are living in. Because when we go to the New Testament, it only reveals what was in the Old Testament, what was said in the past. So now you have a complete word to go by. You don't have to walk around in confusion, because whatever God's word said in the Old Testament, it means the same thing in the New Testament. It was said before in the past, and it was fulfilled after Christ died on the cross and rose from the dead. And I thank and praise God for him even right now on today. We don't serve a dead Savior. We serve a living Savior. The Bible says he sits on the right hand of God, making intercession for us day and night. Even while we sleep, Christ is making intercession for us. He has never stopped working for us. So this is why I thank and praise God for him and for who he is. Mark 9 and 50 suggests that saltiness can be lost specifically through a lack of peace with one another. This follows from the command to have salt in yourselves and to be at peace with one another. We had a discussion on yesterday with some people about forgiveness and the Christian approach to forgiveness. And we must know and understand, just like God forgave us out of all the terrible, sinful thing that we did, none of us were saved all of our lives. I thank God that I got my religion in time, and you did too. But even while we were yet sinners, the Bible says that Christ died for us. So while we were out there sinning and doing everything we wanted to do under the sun, God had mercy on us, and he sent us his Son, who took on all our sins, past, present, and future, and he forgave us. But listen, know and understand, the only way that this can be accomplished is by and through the power of the Word of God and through his Spirit. We need the Spirit of God down on the inside, which will give us that agape love, that we can love others with the love of God no matter what they've done. And that's the way that God loves us. Even though he has forgiven us, he already knows, my friend, the very next time that you're going to sin. But the fact is that we have to repent. And I thank God that even when I first got saved, God showed me that every child of God ought to repent every day. Not saying that you have intentionally done something wrong every day. There are certain times that we offend people that, and we don't know that we have offended them. There are certain times that we say things, or we might look at individuals in the wrong way, and it might be sinful. So guess what? We have sinned at that point. And the Bible tells us that all unrighteousness is sin. And it tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, if we sin, then as children of God, we don't take the grace of God for granted and say, oh, well, God understands that we are human and that as long as we are in this body, we're going to make mistakes. No, 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 my friend. And I think my mentor would say 10,000 times no. We don't do it that way. Simply because God has been gracious enough to forgive us and to offer us grace and mercy, that doesn't give us a license to sin. So then, if you love God the way that you say you love him, then you don't want to do anything to hurt him or to upset him. And believe me, God has feelings just like we have. So for that reason, if we do something wrong, as his children, the same way we do with our earthly fathers and mothers, our parents and our loved ones here in this world, when we hurt them, we go back and apologize to them and try to get it right. Well, that's what we ought to do as children of God. Repent and get it back right with him and get back in right fellowship with him if you want to be blessed and if you don't want your blessings to be hindered. It seems that the role of the Christian as salt and light in the world may be hindered or prevented through any choice to compromise or settle for that which is more convenient or comfortable rather than that which is truly best and pleasing to the Lord. A lot of times, we as Christians, and I know this to be a fact, because there are many that I still talk to that's still in the world, that I left out in the world of sin, that were friends in the past, and don't get me wrong, I still try to operate with them on a friendly basis on today, but we have to know and understand that there's a fine line there. Even though I might go out and talk to them, I still know and understand that I'm sanctified, I'm separated for God's service, so then I can't do the same things they do. I can't say the same things they say. I can't go the same places they go. I can't act the same way that they act. Why? Because I've been bought with a price. I don't belong to myself. I'm not my own. I've been bought with the Christ. I belong to God now. I gave him my life. So then, I can't get back out there and intermingle with the things of the world and still call myself a Christian. I can't compromise with worldly standards and still say that I'm going to obey the word of God, because something in the middle is going to cause us to stray away from fully believing in the word, and therefore our prayers will be hindered and our blessings will also be sidetracked. And listen, the devil is a master deceiver at that. This is what he wants to happen in your life. He don't want you to get the things that God has for you. He don't want you to be blessed the way that God wants you to be blessed. So certainly, my friend, what I'm trying to do on today is encourage you to stay wholeheartedly committed to God. Be that salt. Be that light. Be that one that wants to make a difference in the world. Even in the Old Testament, God told Moses he wanted his people to be a holy people. Exodus 19, 5 and 6. I just taught this in my church class on last week. And he said that he wanted them to be a holy people unto himself, that they would be a nation of priests unto him. Now, this is our end goal as people of God. God wants to use us as a nation of priests, that we can minister to a lost and dying world wherever we go and whatever we do. But we got to make ourselves ready. Romans chapter 12 says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If we do these things, my friend, we can give God the glory. And when people in the world see that glory in our lives, the word of God just got finished saying, when they see our good works, they will glorify our Father, which is in heaven. And I don't know about you, but when I stand before him, I want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. Moreover, the status of salt and light is something that follows naturally from the Christian's humble obedience to the commandments of Christ. It is when we depart from the spirit-led lifestyle of genuine discipleship that the distinctions between ourselves and the rest of the world become blurred and our testimony is hindered. Nothing hurts me worse than to see some of the things that are happening in the news on today, with so many pastors and other leaders falling by the wayside due to yielding to sin. Sometimes it affects the whole body. Sometimes it affects individuals. And many times, especially if it's committed by the leader, he has damaged his testimony to the rest of the body and to the world. And this is my warning to each and every believer on today. When you do things that are contrary to the word of God, when you let the world see you walking contrary-wise, otherwise, to what you have testified to them that you are, that you have Christ in your life, that you have the love of God in your life, that you are saved now. Listen, doesn't make you any better, but it makes you different. A young man asked me that one day, because you are saved, do you think you're better than me? My reply to him was, no. I don't think I'm better than you, but I'm different. Why? What makes me different? The Spirit of God down on the inside, and now my life, my soul, my heart belongs to the Lord. So truly, when we commit ourselves to God in that way, then we'll be careful to obey God. We'll be careful to pray. We'll be careful to do the things that Christians should be doing, being salt, making a difference, enhancing the flavor, making people want to come over on the Lord's side, and being light, exposing sin, exposing darkness, exposing all wrongdoing, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, even in our speech. The Bible says, let your speech be seasoned with salt, that it may minister grace to the hearers. We ought not get out there telling jokes, especially some of the raunchy jokes I've heard some people say that are considering themselves Christians. We ought to not commit ourselves to doing such things, because such things bring a shame and a scandal upon the word of God and upon the church. So, my friend, it's time for us to wholeheartedly get it back together with God. Only by remaining focused on Christ and being obedient to him can we expect to remain salt and light in the world. So, my friend, these are some of the things that we're going to talk about on today. And we're going to go a little bit further into the discussion on the second half of the program. And we're also going to talk about, amen, our rights. What should God's people want to know? And I have some survey here by George Bonner. Three things to do when faced with threat to religious freedom, and protecting your ministry from sexual orientation, gender identity lawsuits. These are things that are facing the church on today. But remember that Christ told us that in the world we will have trials and tribulations. But he said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So certainly, my friend, we want you to keep on standing in the word of God no matter what. We are on the winning side. All we have to do is trust in Christ. Stay tuned. We're going to take a break for the news break. We ask you to join us after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.